So guests here with us today to talk to you guys. Give them a little round of applause.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
how you doing?
Too.
Good, nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, good to see you too. How's everybody doing today?
Great.
Hey, doing real good. Keeping myself busy on the road. Like, it's always fun getting a chance to travel across the state, being back on campuses, being back on the road, just running my mouth, talking to people about everything going on. We got a whole lot at stake right now. As you know about every single election. I remember when I was younger, somebody's like, why do people say that? I was like, well, every election is the most important until the next election. And another person was like, well, every election is the most important because it might be your last. And which kind of has a double meaning right now at this point, as we think about the future of our country and the future of our democracy, which is something that you certainly take serious. It's exactly why you are here today. So I am Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor, former state representative from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm running for governor. And I'm running for governor because we find ourselves at a very critical moment in this country. And because we find ourselves at a critical moment in this country, our state has been feeling the impacts in a very real way. Whether it's tariffs, whether it's the rising cost of healthcare, or at the same time, the declining prospects for employment, for jobs, for being able to earn a living, for being able to truly consider a future beyond the next 5, 10, or 15 years. And I think about when I finished college, 2008 was probably a time where it felt as close to this level of uncertainty. It was a real rough time. And I remember in 2009, I actually got laid off from a job that was to help people find jobs. And just to give you, just to paint the picture of how tough things were at that point. But, and I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want to be fearmonger, but it does feel a little bit worse right now than it did back in 2008, 2009. And I'm going to go in reverse a little bit, because I just want to sort of set the stage and really like pinpoint exactly what that challenge is and why we are where we are. So my grandfather moved to Milwaukee after his service in the Navy in World War II. And he got a job as a union steel worker. And he walked into a factory one day, walked out 35 plus years later. He was able to retire with some comfort, was able to retire with dignity, and ultimately set a foundation that allowed me to be here standing in front of you all today. My dad followed in his footsteps. He worked on an assembly line. He also was a union member, continues to be a union member. He's president of his retirees local. It's something he refuses to give up, and that's also what helped paint the picture for me, learning right from wrong, learning what it meant to exist in a society to be valued for the work that you do. Now, I think about the fact that people even my age, I got elected state rep. I was 25, so I could level with you all back then. But now it feels like I'm so out of touch. That's a joke. I'm very much in touch. It feels like the opportunity for people, even my age or your age, to go on to find long-term gainful employment, it feels like those prospects are fleeting. You all feel that way? I'm not sure if you all talk about majors or anything, but it just feels tough. It feels like there's no end in sight. It feels like there are people who don't get it, who don't understand. And unfortunately, those are the people with the most power right now. Those are the people who are making the decisions about our collective future. And we need people who are going to be bold and stand up. Now, yes, Donald Trump, terrible president. Terrible for this country, terrible for us, even on an individual level. But having established that, we need more than just to stand up to him. The reason why a Donald Trump was able to get the power that he has is because we haven't always articulated the most clear vision of what we want for America. We haven't always made the case very plain and very clear, regardless of where we are in this state or in this country. And even as a state rep, as a young 20-something state rep, back in 2013, I made a point to travel all across Wisconsin. Because again, it was the story of my grandfather, my father, who got me to that place. And I knew that there were other similar stories all across Wisconsin, but I guess I didn't really realize like how similar those stories are. not sure where people are from, but I think about the decline in family farms, the historic number of farm bankruptcies all across Wisconsin that we continue to experience that have been accelerated because of tariffs. Small businesses that have closed their doors because of tariffs, they haven't been able, or they passed on costs to consumers, but gotten to a point where they had no one else coming in to shop, and they had to close their doors because of the president's poor decision making. And the reason why the factory where my grandfather worked, or even the factory where my dad worked, the reason why those doors are closed or those buildings don't exist anymore is because people at the very top made the decision to lower their costs so that they could increase their own profits. And this is all corporate greed that's led to this exodus, not even an exodus, a forced exodus of American jobs, of Wisconsin jobs in particular, being sent overseas. The same corporate greed that has consolidated our family farms. It is the same corporate greed that has pushed our family farmers out of business because they aren't able to compete with these large entities or take losses at the same rate. And we're all up against the same stuff. And as I travel the state as a member of the assembly, like, it was a constant reminder that, you know, these conversations aren't always left versus right. It's who's at the very top and who's pushing everybody else down to the bottom. And with that in mind, and having had that experience and having had all those very unique conversations with people, I ran for lieutenant governor in 2018. Won that race, was, you know, elected in that primary, got on the ticket with now Governor Evers, and we went all across Wisconsin because we had a point to make. We had dealt with 8 years of the worst governor of my lifetime, and that wasn't even the only Republican governor of my lifetime. We had Tommy Thompson, who, you know, had his flaws, but he was nowhere near as divisive or as devastating as the former, as Governor Scott Walker was. And we lost to him in 2010 when he first got elected. We lost to him in a recall election. We lost to him in 2014 for his reelection. And I couldn't help but think, what were we even talking about as Democrats? What were our candidates? What did we even offer to the people of the state to say, hey, you should vote for us? It didn't feel like it was much. And I knew that we had to lead with our values, we had to lead with our vision in order to win. That's exactly what we did. And people will say, Vanilla, what do you talk about when you're outside of Milwaukee? Well, I talk about the same exact things as I do when I'm in Milwaukee. I talk about the lack of opportunity. I talk about the fact that everybody's looking for the same things. People want a good school to send their children to. People want to go to a doctor and not worry about a surprise bill. People want a good job that puts food on the table. And one job should be enough, but that is not the reality that enough people are experiencing. And that was back in 2018. 8 years later, it is even worse right now because of decisions that are being made at the federal level. People still want that same reality. And I'm on the campaign trail now talking about, unfortunately, a lot of the same things. It is about restoring opportunity to a place like Wisconsin. I know it feels difficult. Every you know, person you talk to, especially people under the age of 25, they don't see a future for themselves in this country. And it is important for leaders to understand the need for young people to be able to see a future for themselves in the state of Wisconsin. That means fully funding public education. That means fully funding our university system. It is a travesty that we are number 44 in state spending on our university system. We need to make college more affordable. We also need to increase opportunities for entrepreneurship. We need to attract more people to this state. We need to be able to keep our rural healthcare clinics open. Hospitals are closing at an alarming rate because we are one of 10 states that has yet to expand our Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. Once you get out of college, or once you get over the age of 26 and have to buy health insurance, we need to make sure health insurance is affordable. I was in Cadott like early in this campaign, and a farmer told me that he got a letter informing him that his health insurance premium was gonna go from $275 to over $1,600 a month. Crazy amount of money. He said he couldn't afford it. He said he ripped up the letter, he would go without health insurance because of the high cost. And that's because Republicans in Congress have failed to extend the Affordable Care Act tax credits. This is something that Tom Tiffany, Republican running for governor, voted against the interests of the people that he already represents, which shows an inability to lead this entire state if he cannot even take serious the task that he already has at hand. And as I said before, in 2018, it wasn't necessarily about the current governor at that point. This is about what we were going to do for people. And I've made expansion of Badger Care a priority in Wisconsin. I've made a public option a priority in Wisconsin, because if you don't have health insurance, it's not a whole lot you can do. And people have dealt with medical bankruptcies. The cost of a pregnancy through the roof. Rural health care is evaporating rapidly because these clinics can't stay open. We also need to raise our minimum wage. It's been $7.25 since I was your age, which is crazy to believe, crazy to think of. And not only do we need to raise minimum wage, we also have to do everything we can to lower costs, which means creating more things right here in Wisconsin, building more things here in Wisconsin, like we used to. We used to supply the entire globe, and I do truly believe that we can access a new era of opportunity, but it means that we come together like we've never come before. We put our best foot forward, our best minds forward, and that means investing in our young minds and keeping people here in Wisconsin. We lose so many people to other states that offer more opportunity, and I truly believe that based on what we have in terms of quality of people, in terms of quality of life, our natural resources, that people want to be here, but there unfortunately isn't enough that keeps people here right now. We need to do everything we can to attract and retain talent, to value the people who are already here, and to make this the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Wisconsin can be a state that is prepared for the future, but it takes leadership to do it. It takes bringing people in an intergenerational aspect, people across all sorts of divides, rural, suburban, urban, or otherwise. And I have, you know, my own personal experience that I do bring to this race. I've had my healthcare stories. I've had my challenges with an uncertain economy. But I've also had my experience that I have brought to elected office that has prepared me for this run. And we have been focused during my time as Lieutenant Governor on bringing people together. I was chair of our climate change task force. We put together the boldest plan ever in the state to address the climate crisis and also create good paying jobs as a result of it. But that's the kind of work in prioritizing our future that we need, but it means bringing you all in as well. No one person, I don't care what they tell you, no one person can govern on their own. It takes ideas that come from all over the place to come up with the best solution, to come up with the best path forward, and ultimately provide that opportunity that we so desperately need. So I just want to thank you all for having me. I want to thank you all also for the work that you do as college Dems, getting people out to vote. In 2022, we had the highest youth voter turnout in the entire country. And it's because we led with that value, with those values, we led with that vision, and we are going to continue to lead with those values and that vision, except we're going to amplify it. We're going to take it even more places. We're going to talk to even more people. We're going to out-organize. We're going to show up. We're going to be bold in the face of all this adversity we have been experiencing, and we are going to put our future first.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm assuming our students have questions. So if you guys want to raise your hand, there's not too many of you guys, so you can probably just shout them out, but just be mindful of the other people around you. Erica?
I'm curious how you want to invest in our young people and keep people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, exactly. Like I mentioned, our K-12 funding is abysmal right now. We have a constitutional responsibility for 2/3 funding from the state for our schools. We have not met that. And a number of school districts, thankfully, have filed a lawsuit against the state legislature.
Eau Claire. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Green Bay, Eau Claire, there's one outside of Madison, there's a couple others too. I'm so grateful for it because they're taking on the legislature, because they've abdicated their responsibility to fully fund our schools. And when people are looking for a place to, you know, start a family, most people aren't gonna go to a place that hasn't invested in public. Like, public schools are the first thing that people think of when they choose a place to live if they wanna start a family. You wanna send your children to a school that has everything it needs for that child to be able to get the best education possible. And we have world-class schools here in Wisconsin. We have some world-class K-12 schools. If we can have world-class K-12 schools in any school district, we have the ability to have them in every single school district. And as far as also cultivating the future, again, it goes back to getting from 44th in the country for state support for university funding. Even if we got to 35th, if we move up 9 spots, that creates a world of a difference because we have a great university system in spite of. But I think about what it could be. What could this university be with increased and additional funding, with more support for programs that prepare people for the future in an ever-changing economy? Because, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, what being in college right now feels like, especially with artificial intelligence being the big threat for so many folks. I didn't have to worry about that, but we all have to worry about this. Like, this is still my concern, even though, you know, I'm not in school right now. This is my concern because this is still my concern because of, you know, if what am I to do if the people who are younger than me, if the next generation have very few opportunities? And I've seen what the decline of opportunity looks like. When people ask about issues of crime and delinquence, especially, you know, people always want to point the finger at Milwaukee. Milwaukee's this, Milwaukee, I love Milwaukee to death, place, it's my home, that is where I will be. And the reason, whether it's Milwaukee, whether it's Chicago, Detroit, any other maligned city in the entire country, is because of the opportunities that were taken away. If you have communities without good paying jobs, you're gonna see all sorts of things creep in, whether it's crime, whether it's addiction, whether it's homelessness, all these factors that creep in and make bad situations even worse. And that's why it's important to invest in K-12, but also university system, because if you can educate people and these folks go on, graduate college, they can, you know, this is where innovation happens and businesses are created, new ideas are created. There's so many people who've passed through Wisconsin and are elsewhere and have created, you know, some of the most profitable businesses you could ever imagine, or even gone on to lead some of these organizations and companies. And I do believe we have a responsibility to be able to keep some of that brain power here so that money can be invested, and so that the next generation and the generation after that can reap the benefits, and Wisconsin can remain a strong and ideal place to live.
So you mentioned AI.
Yes.
Do you have a stance on AI data centers? What does that look like if you become governor?
Yeah, data centers is part of a longer conversation about tech accountability in general. And I say that because, I mean, how do you feel, like, you know, social media companies, big tech in general, is just taking advantage of us? It's the feeling of most people, of all people. And I've been on Facebook for like 20 years now. It's crazy. Like, to think about, you know, just everything that has been fed into it, that has been used by, you know, whatever, other people, and our data is being harvested, it's being sold. We are products, essentially, in social media. And the fact that we've been taken advantage of in the digital and virtual space, and now at the same time in the physical space, because these data centers are propping up, again, the largest, most profitable corporations ever imaginable. Sums of wealth that are unrealistic, like amounts of money you couldn't even withdraw from a bank anyway. With that being said, they're showing up in communities that have already been disadvantaged, communities that have experienced job loss, communities that have experienced a level of deterioration, and they're getting over on people. And there are deals that are happening in secrecy, as I'm sure you all know, these non-disclosure agreements that are taking place. As governor, I am telling you that in order for data centers to have any sort of presence in Wisconsin, there has to be community input, there has to be community buy-in that is actually respected, and there has to be community benefits. And when I say community benefits, that means that people who live here, residents, should not have to foot the bill for their construction, should not have to foot the bill for increased use in energy, and also have to have land and air protected, and water quality especially protected. If any sort of data center construction cannot answer the questions, because these are the questions that come up from everybody. People are concerned about water, they're concerned about the land use, they're concerned about air quality, even light pollution in many instances. If you can't answer those questions, if you can't have a solution for those issues that are consistently brought up, you just can't have, you can't build a data center there. Oh, we got pipe. You can't forget. Come on now.
So California passed a bill called the Physicians Make Decisions Act, and Arizona passed a similar bill. It makes it so that a board-certified physician has to approve any insurance claims that AI processes, because AI has been processing healthcare claims at an alarming rate. Would you be willing, as governor, to work towards passing a similar bill?
Oh, I'd be willing to sign that. Again, we got to slow that. We got to rein in big tech in general. And the problem is, like, if you give a mouse a cookie, or we've let them get just inch by inch by inch by inch, and it is just completely not just taking over our lives, it's taking over our job opportunities, it's taking away our autonomy in many instances. And the idea that somebody can go bankrupt, so you're talking about medical debt, the idea that somebody can go bankrupt because of an algorithm is crazy. And so, yeah, I'm all for putting, you know, these guardrails in place for big tech and AI. I am all for reining them in however possible. The impact on minors and mental health, like all these things, you know, obviously they're much better done at the federal level, but as a state, we can show some leadership. And Wisconsin historically is a place that shows leadership. Like, we have been on the right side of history so often. We have done the right thing so often. We have led the way so often. We've had a few gaps. We've had some setbacks. But overall, we have truly lived up to our motto. Overall, we have been a forward-thinking place. We've had some of the most progressive ideas come out of Wisconsin. We have had some of the most impactful legislation. We have had some of the most deliberate thought guiding the way in Wisconsin. And I know that we can do that again. Like, it's why I ran for state representative back in 2012, because even then, at that point, I said better was possible, because I was frustrated. And when I ran for lieutenant governor, I was like, all right, yeah, we can still do more. And I never ran for office because I thought things were going well. You know, if things are going well, I just go home and chill, do something else, right? Like, it would be, this is very stressful, in case you don't know. It is very stressful. If anybody's thinking about a career in politics, surely happy to help you, you know, with your decision making. Surely happy to give any of you the pointers that you want, if this is something that's on your mind that you really want to do, because I do encourage young people to get involved and run for office. We need more voices. We need a diverse voice. When I say diverse, I mean all across the spectrum, age, race, gender, sexuality, whatever, all the things, right? We need as many people that truly reflect a community and reflect our society as possible. But it's stressful. And if things are going well, you wouldn't even see me here right now. But things aren't going well. And I remember even talking to people, you know, frustrated people in office. And they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, I don't feel like this is going right. I don't feel like this. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm like, look, you're never going to agree with somebody 100% of the time. You know, and if you want somebody that you're going to agree with 100% of the time, I encourage you to run for office. I encourage you to put your name on the ballot. I encourage you to, you know, go out, give your ideas, present your ideas to the public. I think that's what you should do if you are, you know, that passionate about a thing or a collection of things. I remember first couple months, as lieutenant governor, a group of students came to visit me in my office, and they were fired up about climate change and the climate crisis. Like, well, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do this, we need to do that. And I sat there, I let them yell at me for like 45 minutes. And I was like, y'all know I'm on your side, right? we're literally talking about the same exact things. I like showed them everything that I was, you know, trying to work on, and everything that the legislature had stood, you know, firmly in opposition to. And, you know, it ended up being a very productive conversation. And, you know, one of the students who was there, like, once we created our climate change task force, I appointed her to it, because, like, that's the kind of firepower we need on this task force. That's the kind of idea and vision that we need. She was the youngest person, and, you know, she was probably the most ambitious person on that task force. And it was very necessary to have her there, to have her voice, to be able to learn the ropes. Because I have been fortunate to have people who've sort of lent me a hand in some sort of way. After college, I was an unpaid intern in the mayor's office in Milwaukee, but I got to learn about functions of government. While I'm sitting waiting on people to call or knock on the door, I'm just doing all kind of research because I need to know how to answer the questions when I answer the phone. And it was a great learning opportunity for me, and I wanted to create that learning opportunity for her and so many other people. So it wasn't just her as an individual, like the group of students that she was with. Like I wanted them to be able to go to her, have a reliable source of information. And that's what we should be doing. You know, not enough of that happens. But that's also been a part of my commitment to bringing more people in. I didn't see a whole lot of people, one, who looked like me, but also didn't see a lot of people who shared my experience. I was born and raised in the city of Milwaukee, born on 26 and Locust. That's the heart of the 53206 zip code. That's our state's poorest, nation's most incarcerated zip code, a place with some real challenges. And the reason why those negative statistics are the way they are is because of one, lack of investment, two, lack of accountability, and three, lack of attention being paid to by people who have the authority and the power to do something. And not only did I want to be a part of, you know, that decision-making process that shifts the paradigm, I wanted to be an example for anybody else in a community like that who felt like all hope was lost, who felt as if there was nothing to be optimistic about or felt that they couldn't change things. I wanted them to know that a path existed for them to not just address the issues, but to also be in the decision-making chair.
Your time for like one or two really fast.
Okay.
We had two hands there.
Could we get pictures of you quick? No problem.
Okay, so you mentioned a bit about darker spots in Wisconsin legislative history, and you mentioned Scott Walker a bit.
Yeah.
With Scott Walker's Act 10, you talked a lot about your father working in unions and your grandfather. Would you take initiative to act against Act
10? I was out there marching before I was in office. That was like catalytic for me when Act 10 was being debated in the legislature. I was out there and it was cold. And that's truly, that's, it was my state representative, like everybody, it's funny because like everybody was speaking out against, you know, acting, giving these long speeches, and I'm like, my state representative, he did vote the right way. But he was so silent about it. And I was like, what are you doing, man? Like, you know, what's going on? And I ran against him, you know, the next year. We are cool now, ironically enough. Like, he's a great guy. Like, on a personal level, the dude's like, we're very cool now, but it was time for him. And he actually, it is funny because he acknowledged it. We were somewhere before, and like, we were together. So, like, how are y'all friends? And he's like, I needed to go. He actually said it. It was crazy. But because my mother was a public school teacher as well. And she was very active in her union. In the teachers union. So like I felt it was a personal affront to me. Like I said, I wouldn't have had, you know, the upbringing that I had. And by no means, we weren't rich at all. My parents still worry about the bills a lot. But I was stable. And I think about people in my neighborhood, people I went to school with, even family members whose lives were drastically different than mine. And I look at what their educational journey was. Because whenever I talk about education as well, like, of course, we need to fully fund our schools, but we need to make sure our children are going to school on a solid and stable footing. And that just isn't the case. And I think about a lot of my classmates that didn't have the same luxuries. And by luxuries, I mean, we never had to worry about moving, never had to worry about getting evicted, never had to worry about food being on the table or not. But so many of my friends, either I knew then or have come to learn in adulthood, that they were dealing with some like real stuff, some real stuff. And I didn't have those uncertainties. And I say a couple things. Like one, I never knew where my dad worked. I just knew he was a member of the UAW. I just knew he was a member of the union. And I also say that, you know, my parents' employers gave them a job, but their unions gave them real opportunity. It gave them fair wage, health insurance, it allowed them to be able to take off work if I got sick. They didn't have to worry about getting fired. And it allowed them to be able, again, to have retirement comfort. And again, I would not have been able to experience life the way that I did if it were not for their union membership. And I'm not sure if I've already said it, but my focus is ensuring that everybody growing up in the state of Wisconsin has at least the same opportunities that I had.
Last question, only 30
seconds. Cool. Well, thank you all. Really, really appreciate the time. Wow. Y'all have been great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
You want to
move?
Yeah, do you guys want to jump in?
Yeah.
Summit.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
You guys want me to take a
photo? Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Perfect. Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Are we all doing the
picture? Yeah, we'll get everybody up.
Everybody.
Anybody that's comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, you too.
Welcome yeah. to see you again.
Awesome.
Yeah,
and please
good
do.
Luck.
Please
good
do.
Luck.
If you guys want to pick your picture.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Anybody that would like to
do some robes?
Yeah, we can.
Oh,
we can find
yeah, sorority squad.
We can find it.
Maybe we should switch.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Actually, maybe. All right, look at it. Wait, one second.
Wait, which one is it? Smile.
Thank you.
All
right.
And then can we get
an
okay.
What's up?
Can we get an exec board picture?
Oh yeah.
Thanks guys.
Hey, thanks again everybody.
Yeah, thank you
so
much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate you so much.
No, this has been great.
Thank you for planning.
And,
appreciate you guys.
Yeah, stay involved. Get even more involved. If you got questions, happy to answer them about running.
Yeah. Feel free to take some pizza. I don't want to have to take them home. So.
Yep. Take care.
All right. So give me an update. How are you feeling?
Feeling incredible. A few months in, actually. Incredible response all across the state. We've been traveling nonstop. The response has been incredible. We see the momentum continue to grow. We see support increase all across Wisconsin.
So we've seen the first poll come out. A lot of people still making up their minds. How do you work that with supporters who are like, why aren't your numbers so much higher? Trying to like just slow down. People are just
As I said even before, Marquette poll came out. Poll numbers are poll numbers. It doesn't change our program. We're showing up all across Wisconsin. We're talking to people. I mean, there was a poll that came out 2 days before, showed me within a lead with 8 points above the next person. So polls are polls. They're always scattered all over the place. What matters is the response of the people that we have been talking to. Very confident about the support that we have, and even more confident about the road ahead.
How are you seeing that your campaign kind of merge with Chris Taylor's Supreme Court election as people are tuning into both coming into April?
Yeah, people are, you know, obviously we're, you know, had the idea. We know for sure, you know, people that are going to be focused on the spring election. That's the way it goes. And people should be focused on the Supreme Court election right now. So that's to be expected. But we also expect to be nonstop as soon as that race is concluded.
And there's got to be a chance to build momentum from April to August, November.
Right? Oh, absolutely. So we look at this race and the organizing that we have an opportunity to be a part of, other conversations that we happen to be a part of as well, encouraging people to get out and vote for Chris Taylor. So we get to, you know, chat in communities that may even have lower voter turnout and people in communities that may not even show up in a race like this. And we talk about why this one is as important as the November election. So it gives us a chance to even just talk to more people.
Cool. That's all we need from you. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.